Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer at WNYC. You've heard a lot about the NYPD stop and frisk tactics on this station and on this show. This week, the New York Times reported that the Bronx District Attorney's Office dealt what they called a significant blow to the city's use of stop and frisk. DA Robert Johnson has quietly stopped prosecuting people who were stopped at public housing projects and arrested for trespassing, unless the arresting police officer is interviewed and the arrest is deemed warranted. Joining me now is the New York Times reporter who broke this story, Joseph Goldstein. Joseph, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
So what did you find out about this change in policy at the Bronx DA's office exactly?
Well, a high-ranking official in the Bronx DA's office, Jeanette Rucker, who is the chief of arraignment, sent a letter to the police department's legal bureau about a month or two ago in which she said that she had a number of concerns with past arrests that the police department were making on housing projects in which legitimate guests, she found, had actually been arrested for criminal trespass. And she said that going forward, that her office would no longer prosecute cases based on sort of the arrest paperwork alone, which was the usual process. That going forward, an assistant district attorney would actually need to interview the police officer to better understand the circumstances of that given arrest.
In other words, arrests are made at a public housing development on charges of trespassing. These arrests are a variant or a result of the stop and frisk practices. And to be clear, at our city's public housing projects, you must be a resident or a guest of a resident in order to even be there. So the charges would be that these people are neither. And the complaint is that often the people arrested are, in fact, guests, or even residents. And so these trespass arrests are wrong.
The question that I believe concerned Ms. Rucker was what type of investigation were the police doing before they concluded that somebody was on housing authority property improperly? In other words, how do you prove you actually live there, or how do you prove you're a guest? Is your name may not be on the tenant roster, but that doesn't mean that you're not the nephew of a resident who's living there, or if you are, say, going to visit a relative or a friend, and that friend isn't home, you actually might be at risk of being arrested because you cannot actually prove that you're an invited guest. And so the concern appears to be that the police were not investigating the claims of people whom they were stopping to the extent that they needed to, and that if you could not quickly prove that you were a resident there, say by virtue of a driver's license or an ID, that you might end up in handcuffs.
So that's DA Robert Johnson's policy in the Bronx and his complaint with the stop and frisk practices. Here is 45 seconds of Mayor Bloomberg's response to the Bronx DA and to your report yesterday. The mayor really lashed out at this. Listen.
If you want to bring crime back to New York, this is probably as good a way as to start doing it. I think one of the problems we have in our public housing is that, unfortunately, crime rate is high. We devote an enormous amount of police resources to protecting the people that live in public housing. They have a right to be safe. And in terms of the allegations that there in public housing, some of the cops have been stopping without having any justification. We've been unable to get one example, if I understand it, from any of the people that have complained. So I think the district attorney should really take another look at what he's doing.
So were you surprised by that response, strong response by the mayor to the facts that you reported? And what about his allegation that nobody's been able to produce even one example of these wrongful arrests?
It's a response that echoes the letter that Ray Kelly, the police commissioner, sent to the Bronx DA in early September, in which Mr. Kelly, Commissioner Kelly, said that an internal affairs investigator had spoken with the prosecutor who made these allegations, and that she was unable to provide any concrete examples.
Did you in your article?
No. But I would point out that it's quite unusual for a prosecutor to put on paper concerns about an entire class of arrests that the police department are making. And in the past, there have been concrete examples found by the CCRB, the Civilian Complaint Review Board, and cases have been pointed out in the past.
Joseph Goldstein, New York Times correspondent, who broke the story of the Bronx DA's office not prosecuting trespassing arrests from public housing projects unless the police officers have been interviewed. And does this really signal the DA's fundamental distrust of the police? Does it undermine the police reports and suggest they think the cops are lying? Because it seems like the terms that DA Johnson is setting up, interviewing the police officers about an arrest before prosecuting, is a perfectly reasonable sounding course of action. One might think that interviewing the arresting officer before prosecuting an arrest only on his word might even be a kind of cautious standard practice.
Absolutely. Up to this point, these cases have been known as the police call them supporting deposition cases, meaning that they fill out a sworn affidavit of what they observed and they check a few boxes describing what led to the police encounter. But there have been concerns, the Bronx DA's voiced concerns on two fronts. One is what circumstances led to the original police encounter? Was there enough suspicion or did the police officer just approach a person at random? And the second concern is that after or in discussions with the suspect, did they do a sort of solid enough job of verifying the suspect's story before arresting them? And I think it's pretty clear from Ms. Rucker's letter, the prosecutor's letter, that she wants her assistant DAs to have an opportunity to really question the officers about the circumstances that led to the arrest and that they were not satisfied with what was being written down on the paperwork.
Signaling that they do think cops routinely lie about these things?
She does not use that word, and she does not claim that.
Just that they're too aggressive by not looking into deeper into the circumstances of the people who are being arrested for trespassing.
She says, yeah, absolutely. She says that her office has found enough discrepancies in the police officer's account and the account of the suspect that they've been able to verify that they want to change the process.
So we just have a few minutes for this, listeners, but I wonder if anybody can give your own story that backs up the DA's theory here. Anybody listening right now from a public housing project where you yourself or you know somebody who's been arrested wrongly for trespassing on the premises, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. We only have time for a couple, so we'll put you right on if you call in, 212-433-9692. And by the same token, any police officers listening who have patrolled housing projects or know other cops who have and have a different take on this, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. 9-2, and Danny in Massapequa, you're on the air. Hey, Danny.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Okay, thanks.
You know, it's funny because most of these complaints, this has been a very successful program, and I've worked in the housing projects in the Bronx along with the housing police, and these police officers are assigned to these buildings. They know who their residents are. They know the community. They're not randomly stopping people walking through their buildings as if they have nothing better to do. They conduct vertical patrols in staircases and in isolated areas where known drug use and drug sales and crimes are occurring. At 3 o'clock in the morning, you're walking through a staircase, you find three kids sitting there. The police, like I said, the policeman knows the residents of the building. He may know some of the kids. That one kid doesn't live there. You get arrested. It's trespass. You're not allowed to be in the building. And it's been very successful with the residents of these projects who have been victimized for years and years and years. And it's a very successful program. And in the old days, every arrest you had to make, you had to go down and talk to district attorney. So I don't have any problem with making arresting officers go down because it's good to be interviewed by the district attorney who can get the full flavor of the situation. But the fact of the matter is that the program is very successful, that it has cut down on crime in the projects, drug use, and I don't want to see it end. And it's not part of Stop, Question, or Frisk. Stop, Question, or Frisk is something completely different on street corners. This is something different because you have no right to be in that building lawfully unless you have a resident. You have a right to be on any street corner in New York City. So an officer approaching you on a street corner is much different than an officer approaching you on city property, on in a public property where you have no right to be there.
Danny, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. I appreciate all those points being put on the table. Former police officer there calling in. So let's take up a couple of things that he said. Number one, should this really be separated from the discussion about stop and frisk?
Absolutely not. These are arrests that follow from stop and frisk encounters, or at least police stop encounters. Keep in mind that the crime that the police officer suspects the person of is trespass. And it's not a crime. It's not any particular act they observe. But these arrests all follow from a police officer approaching somebody and inquiring as to what they're doing there. And so these are arrests that follow from the stop and frisk program.
Kenyatta in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to let my story be known out there that I was also stopped and for no apparent reason, I asked the officer, why did he stop me? And he just said, because he didn't recognize me.
This is in a public housing project in which you live?
Yes, in Manhattan.
And so,
can I give the name of the development?
You can if you want to or not.
Yeah, it was in Amsterdam Houses.
Uh-huh. And so when you identified yourself, was that sufficient for him or were you arrested?
No, I wasn't arrested, fortunately, but yeah, when I identified myself, then he kind of let me go on my way. But I asked him, I said, there's something happening in the neighborhood. Do I look familiar? What's the reason? And his reason was because he did not recognize me. Now, my question to you guys, is that a new law that if they don't recognize someone, they're able to stop them and get an identification on the person?
In fact, Joseph, this is from something called Operation Clean Halls, right, Joseph?
Well, if it was on a public housing project, Operation Clean Halls refers to private buildings where landowners have turned over the keys to the police.
Okay.
There's no law that was recently passed that deals with whether—
Or a policy change?
Not that I'm aware of. I would make the distinction that not every— police encounter is a stop and frisk, is police officers can approach citizens and ask questions. It becomes a stop when that citizen is no longer free to walk away.
Kenyatta, let me ask you one more question. The previous caller, former police officer, suggested that people in the project might largely feel safer as a result of this, that there aren't documented cases, or the mayor says there aren't documented cases of these false arrests. And I think the caller's suggestion is this has been very successful at actually reducing crime. And so people may feel more protected by this than picked on by this. What's your experience, or you think those of your neighbors?
My neighbors, they like it. And I kind of like it myself as well. But you know, when you're a victim of it, it feels different. You know, I just asked the officer, like, what is the reasoning for this? Because I was coming out of the building, I was going to my vehicle, I had car mats in my hand, and you know, he stopped me. He wouldn't let me pass because I said hello to him. He said hi, and then I kind of tried to walk around him, and he walked in front of me and stopped me and said, "Oh, do you have ID?" And I asked him, "Well, what's the reason for this?" And he just said, he don't recognize my face.
Mm-hmm. Kenyatta, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. And there's the dilemma for a lot of people in high crime areas. They want the police to be in there and be protecting them and be, proactive. On the other hand, sometimes they feel picked on by those proactive techniques.
I think the debate is not whether it is good for the police to make criminal trespass arrests or whether it is bad for them to do so. The question is, who are they arresting, and how thoroughly are those arrests being vetted before?
On the basis of what evidence?
I think there are about 5,000 of these arrests each year. They peaked a few years back in 2009, but I believe there were 4,000 and a couple of hundred last year. And the question is, are all of those proper arrests?
So last thing, and we just have a minute, but a couple of months ago, our now former reporter Elsa Chang, who's since gone on to NPR, broke a story about the Bronx DA's very high failure to prosecute rate. She reported that his office gave victims only 24 hours to cooperate with prosecutors after crimes, and if they failed to cooperate, the DA would dismiss the cases. Now this, do you see any connection? Are they short-staffed? Is that why they're declining to prosecute cases? Or is DA Johnson kind of on the warpath against stop and frisk or certain police tactics that he doesn't like?
I don't know what the precise connection is, but I think that what is separate about these criminal trespass arrests and this policy is that the DA's office is singling out a class of arrests that they now want to scrutinize further. I think that the decisions regarding decline to prosecute are made more individually based on each individual case, whereas in this instance, the DA is taking an entire class of arrests, criminal trespass, and changing the policy for how their office will accept them and go forward.
New York Times correspondent covering the police, Joseph Goldstein. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Carlos Andres Gomez picks up on an aspect of this conversation and talks about the code of modern manhood. Stay with us.